T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rasmus Dahlin sends a cross-ice pass. Taylor Hall with a two-on-one. Casey Mittelstadt with Hall. Mittelstadt carries, scores! That was a dart! Plays that one up the wall. Panarin can't move it out. That'll pose a lead. It scores! Victor Olofsson! Puts it in the back of the net, and this game, with 3:41 remaining in period number three, is tied at two. Tage Thompson between the hash marks. Tries a shot, he scores! So here we go, Cackle between the hash marks on his forehand, back it's... Oh. Covers the far post, Sabres win it.
Yeah, Sabres win it. Who is this new Sabres team? Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. They're back at it tonight in New Jersey, 7 o'clock puck drop. 6:30 pregame show with our guest here, Marty Biron, and his partner there, Brian Duff. 6 o'clock on WGR 550 with Shope and the Bulldog. Again, that's they're in New Jersey. As I said, boys, who is this new new Sabres team that we've been watching lately? A much more improved team, I would say, and very impressive lately.
Not a better team when you look at on paper personnel wise, but a much better team as you put the 20 players together, the way they play defensively, passing's better, positioning's better, their attack is better. So somewhere inside of me, I'm like, man, what would that team have looked like when you had McCabe, you had Borgen, you had Jack Eichel, you had Eric Staal, you had those players playing the way that they have the last four or five games, like that.
Quit living in the past.
Just, I know, but it makes me mad. So past. I don't want to go there, but it makes me mad. So anyway,
speaking of living in the past, how was the weekend, Riff?
The weekend was fantastic. You know, no hockey this weekend for the family, and just a really nice opportunity to kind of chill out and deflate a little bit and watch a little bit of hockey. And let me tell you something.
Tell us
this Sabre team right now. I had a smile on my face. I know it's been a really, really long year for these guys. You know, I just find it amazing that when you watch this team right now, you understand that there is skill on this team. We do have some skilled hockey players. We have some guys that know how to play the game, and what I watched and what I witnessed is that it's amazing what happens when players start to have a new lease on life. They start to have a new opportunity, and confidence is slowly being built, and you're seeing changes in the attitude of each and every player on this team. And it's not just going to all of a sudden happen right away, but you can see the pace in which these players are playing at is completely different than what we've watched for the entire season. And I don't know if you guys have watched the same thing, but I'm going to tell you, the speed in which a lot of these players are playing right now and they're more confident and look like they're having fun. And that's a big part.
All right. So here's where we're going today. Lots of trade talk because the trade deadline is Monday. So everyone buckle up for that as we have some names being tossed around with the Sabres. At least Darren Dreger has been quoted as talking about some of the players. We'll talk about those guys in a little bit. Again, Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock in New Jersey. Games on MSG and WGR 550. Obviously, with the way that things have been going with the team lately, I don't know if I learned something today about Don Granato. Okay, I read this in the rundown. And where is it here? Did you hear his quote where he says, basically it's written here. It says, Don Granato got his dream job at the most inopportune time. Fixing the Sabres isn't easy. Neither is cancer at 38 or a near-death hospital stay in 2019. And then he's quoted as saying, the one you don't know about is I was hit by a car when I was 5. So an 18-game losing streak is nothing. I had no idea. Like, so someone said to me today, they said, bad luck. I said, or really good luck. I mean, you know, depending on how you look at it. But that being said, is there going to be a conversation where maybe he can make a case for himself to keep the coaching job here?
I guess, yes.
I asked you guys that question very prematurely last week, and it was after his first game, and you know the team looked better. But now we're starting to settle in and see a better hockey team here.
Now, I never thought of Don Granato as NHL head coach when he first joined the Sabres, and you know I really thought a great assistant, a really good assistant, a guy that has maybe more of an X and O's background and development background, and can talk to the players and make them better. But I never saw him as this authority figure behind a bench or in the locker room. I didn't. And maybe that's because I've never seen it at the NHL level and really didn't pay attention to where he had been a head coach before or how he handled that as a head coach. Now, from the first press conference he did, the Zoom call at 5 o'clock, you know, the day of the game or whatnot, when the morning skate, we didn't talk to him because there was COVID, you know, protocols and the player on the Bruins went on it, whatever. 5 o'clock, he says, it's going to be different. I'm the coach now. I'm the head coach now. Practice is going to be different. We're going to play different. And I was like, whoa, like this is Don Granato, the nice assistant coach that I thought he was. There was an authority factor in how he was speaking. And I'm seeing it every time he talks to the media or every time he talks to the players like he's doing right now on the screen. If you're watching on MSG, like there's an authority that I did not know he had. So when I first said, that's for the end of the year, they're going to go get somebody else. Now I'm not as 100% convinced that they will not look at Don Granato more. I would, you know, so maybe he's not the guy for long-term, but I definitely learned something about him and how he coaches that I did not know before. And that's why this audition, if you want to call it, is important for Don Granato. It's very important for him. He's getting an opportunity and right now he's making the best out of it. So I think there's a possibility that, there's definitely a possibility you have to look and at his file and spend more time on it.
What do you say, Riv? Is he making a case for himself for the head coaching job?
Yeah, I think Marty flat out said that he is underestimated this man. I will not sit here and say that, yes, he's making a case for himself. I think it's far too early. We all do not know where Kevin Adams and his mindset and where he wants to take this team. No one knows that but Kevin and his internal group. But I'll tell you this. I think that Don Granato has done a real nice job, because I'm going to tell you, with what I see in a short period of time and the tendencies that these players are playing with, I think that there's more focus on a defensive minded game. Like, and I'll just, and what I mean by that is, like, when you look the last game that the Sabres played against the Rangers, we go into overtime. Was Rasmus Dahlin leading the rush, or was he waiting for his opportunity? And the opportunity in that overtime did not present itself for him to really go, but he waited. And I thought Don Granato did a nice job by cycling a larger number of players on the ice for the 3-on-3. And I think they've done a really nice job. I think the way that the players are playing right now, like, I don't know if you feel the same, but Taylor Hall's skating looks noticeably faster. I think Tage Thompson and Casey Mittelstadt, these were doormats under Ralph Kruger. They're not doormats anymore. I mean, you actually, as a fan that's watching these games, are starting to see a little bit of the light in what these young players, and the reason why they were drafted in the first round. You're starting to see little tendencies that you're starting to like. I don't believe both those players in particular are loaded with confidence right now, because that was taken away from them. That was stolen from them from the other coach. That's just the way it is.
I don't know that it was taken away, more that their systems didn't allow for them to feel confident. And as a defenseman, Rives, you probably more than anybody, when you got the puck on your stick, you wanted to look up and know that your left winger was in its position or the right winger was in its position so that you can make that play. You don't have to look up and be like, oh my goodness, he's not there. Now I have to hang on to the puck. Oh, I'm going to get hit. And then all of a sudden you do that for 10 games in a row where you keep turning the puck over because your forwards are not where they're supposed to be. You're going to lose confidence. But the reason why the forwards weren't in the position they needed to be was because they would follow their guys in the defensive zone, and the right wing was on the left side of the ice, and the center was at the top, and the D partner was at the blue line. They had no idea where to look for their guy. When Rasmus Dahlin made that pass to Taylor Hall on the Casey Mittelstadt goal, he quickly looked up the wall and didn't see his winger on the wall. But he knows that if the winger's not on the wall, then you know who else is going to be in the middle of the ice is Taylor Hall, because he's the left winger. He's going to be in his spot. And he turns around and he makes that play right up to Taylor Hall. It's a 2-on-1 with Casey Mittelstadt. That play 3 weeks ago.
How many D in the league can make that pass, by the way?
Yeah, not too many. Not too many.
That play. And Petey, not to cut you off, Marty, no. I'll let you go here in a second. But when I talk about poise with the puck, Rasmus Dahlin's poise with the puck and his confidence of, you know, knowing that he's got people that are, you know, trying to be physical on him, take the puck away. It's incredible the poise he has with the puck. And for him to make that play to Taylor Hall it's crazy, because there is 90% of the players in the league can't make that play. They cannot make the play. And he makes those plays look very easy, and they're not easy.
No, absolutely. And
I like how Mittelstadt pumped the brakes a little bit just to kind of create a little separation there, right?
He said,
no, I'm talking about before he shot the puck. Like, he gets in the zone and just kind of like,
he wanted to pass all the way. And he said that the passing lane was taken away, so I figured I'd shoot. But no, but to go back, like, Rasmus Dahlin is much better with the puck. Breakouts are better. Transition is better. Why? Because I do believe that when you are under a lot of pressure, as you usually are with the puck in the National Hockey League, the forecheck is coming quick. It's the fastest sports in the world. It's fastest game on ice, whatever you want to call it. You need to know that the players are going to be in the position that they're supposed to be in. You need to know that the center is going to be supporting low in the middle, that he's not leaving the zone. You need to know all of that, and then you can make the plays. Now, the difference in the last 5 games of the Sabres is transition's better, breakouts are better, passing's better, they're attacking more, they're defending better. Why? Because it's all starting with your defensive positioning in the defensive zone. That's where it all starts. And then you gain confidence. And then you play like this for 2, 3, 4 games, and you're like, wow, game's a lot easier. Look at Kalaposo. He doesn't have to chase people all over around the ice. He's in this position. And when he gets the puck, he's like, I'm not tired for chasing a player 30, 40 seconds around my zone. I'm in my position. I get the puck. I can play. And look at his production the last few games. You know, there's going to be some players that are going to succeed and some players that are not, depending on the systems. But I do believe that the systems that the Sabres tried to play for the last year and a half under Ralph Kruger really and we talked about it a lot on this show.
Go back even further than that. You can even go to Phil Housley. So anyone who's been here for 4 years is just wired completely wrong.
Completely wrong. And now they're like, wow, this is so easier. We're not, you know, we're not coming off the ice gassed after chasing everybody. And then we go up the ice and can't even attack because we're gassed. Like, there's a big difference in the way they play right now. And would it make them a playoff team? Would it have made them a top three team, top four teams in the East? Maybe, maybe not. But I think we were under the assumption that the Sabres were possibly going to compete for a playoff spot. And if they were playing the way they have been the last couple of weeks here, I think they would be where Philly, the Rangers, you know, those teams competing for a playoff spot right now.
That, can they make the playoffs if they win out? Just wondering.
No, the problem is I think that there's too many teams that are playing each other. So yeah. If Boston plays Pittsburgh and Philly plays, you know, Washington, then somebody's going to win. It's not like you're playing teams in West. So
Yep.
Odds can I ask a question?
Odds are more against you. That's what you're here for. That's what you're paid for, Braden.
All right. What are our thoughts with Sam Reinhart at center?
Well, I don't. Well, it's funny that you say that because you asked that question at a very interesting time because you ask a question. I'm obviously going to let you ask it, but then I was about to say, you know, Darren Dreger has been talking about players on the team and guys that have been called about Ristolainen, Reinhart, Dahlin. So you ask about Reinhart at center. Personally, I'll ask you guys this question. When a team's interested in a player like Reinhart and he's going to be looking for a lot of money in his next contract, do you think there's a chance that a team might have called and said, we want to see you play him at center? And I asked you this question the other day.
No.
But if the trade calls are still coming in on Reinhart, why wouldn't a team want to see what he can do at center? I'm not saying trade for him as a centerman, but just know if they can.
I think if a GM calls, I think if a GM calls you and says, hey, we're interested in Sam Reinhart. We'd like you to play him at center. I say, this isn't like garage beer league.
Well,
like,
if you're asking for a lot, if you're going to get a lot in return, you should be able to work with a team and say, I can show you Sam at center.
I would think, I don't tell you how to manage your team. Don't tell me how to manage mine. Like, simple as that.
I just think it's interesting that after all these years, he's at center.
Well, yeah, because who else are you going to have to play center?
You had Jack Eichel out. You had
Stahl out. Cousins out.
Lazar out. Four of our centers out this year. Someone had to play center.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a circumstantial.
Eakin's a centerman. Lazar's a centerman. Cousins was in and out. Lazar was out at that time. You're right.
But even then, look at the last four games.
Eichel's out and Cousins is out.
Who else are you going to put at center? You know, like you have Reinhart, Milostat, Sheahan, and Eakin playing center. There's nobody else on that roster that could play center right now. Nobody.
I was just throwing the thought out there. Hey, look, I don't know if it was wishful thinking or creative thinking. I was just trying to see if like there's anything there with a Reinhart trade, because there's a lot of smoke around a Reinhart trade talk right now. Is why I bring that up, because out of the blue, we hear Elliott and Dreger a few weeks ago start talking about how important how Reinhart's name is getting brought up. Elliott brought it up on Hockey Night in Canada. Dreger's brought it up several times, and then here he is all of a sudden magically playing center after 2 years. So if you're going to sit here and tell me that it's just convenient because of where the team was, they had to use him at center. Well,
yeah,
you know, he was hot at wing. So if you're looking to maybe move him, why would you take him off the wing?
He wasn't so hot.
He was performing. He was
had 0 points in seven games or whatever before.
He had one assist
in seven games.
So he wasn't hot.
Leading up to that, yeah, he was hot. All right, like he was. That's when the trade talks really started. Was when he was scoring all those goals.
Yeah.
Well, I think, listen.
I get what you're saying with Sam, but I sometimes when you have difficult situations. And the Sabres are in a difficult situation. They have their top player on their team out in Jack Eichel and Dylan Cousins, who has been a fantastic player for this team. Maybe not on the point or score sheet, but he's played and looked really, really good. And you have a Lazar out, and now Stahl gets traded, and you insert Sam Reinhart. My question is Sam Reinhardt. Did he look good enough where that's something for the future to say, this is something that I really like? Is that, could we see Sam Reinhardt become a center?
Riv, I think, Sam, really? Sam's as good as gone, man. I mean, what?
I'm not saying this year.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying this year. Sam has 1 year left. He has 1 year left. He's been here through the entire time. He has 1 year left. We had this talk last week. Like, he's not coming back.
So you're moving. No. You're moving him. If you're the GM, you are moving
him. I'd be moving him because I would believe that Sam Reinhardt would want to change the scenery. Yes.
Listen, a week in the NHL.
If you're going to move Sam Reinhardt, are you moving Taylor Hall?
Yes.
I think you're moving Taylor Hall before.
Are you moving Rasmus Ristolainen?
If I can, yes.
Okay, so ultimately what you're saying is you're moving Jack too.
Is that what it comes down to? I don't know if that's necessarily
100%
true.
100% it's going to come down. You think you're going to trade all those three players, and then you're going to have Jack Eichel who's going to want to stay here?
What am I getting back?
That's a great question. That's is it a buyer's market or a seller's market right now?
Well, the real word on the street is what I read is it's a buyer's market.
Well, yeah, but that's.
I hope that's wrong.
That because
is it not, Marty? Your good buddy Brian. It's not. It'd be better if it's not.
Your good buddy Brian Lawton on the NHL Network said he thinks.
Who's good buddy?
Your good buddy, PD.
He's great because he's. You know why he's great to me? Do you know why he's my good buddy? I turn him on every when he's on. I know it's sleepy time for me. When as soon as Brian Lawton comes on. He is the human Ambien. I am out cold. It is like, it's like listening to the guy in golf.
Come on.
Right now, I'm teeing off for the third hole here.
Lotz
said on NHL Network that he believes it's switching more to a seller's market. Why? Because now you've got more teams that are battling for playoff spot. Hey, San Jose, all of a sudden, playoff talk. St. Louis is still battling. LA was in there. Arizona is in a play or close to a playoff spot. Nashville is there. Like, there's more teams now that have found their way into a battle for a playoff spot that maybe were going to be sellers beforehand. And now they've switched into the question mark. We don't know what we are. And there's only 6 days left. So you better make a decision. So he thinks that teams are holding on to players right now, like Taylor Hall, because a week ago, it was a buyer's market and the prices were really low. But as we go now, prices could go up a little bit and it could switch or shift to a seller's market. And I don't think it's going to be a full-blown seller's market, but I don't think we're heading towards the buyers have all the power in the world right now because there's not too many sellers. There's not too many sellers and the sellers don't have the players or the quality players that the Sabres have. Really, to be honest with you, Taylor Hall, for me, should be at the top of the list. Should be number one on that list. You could get him at a cheaper price.
There's an issue with Taylor Hall when you look and you read on it. So
What's the issue? The
top eight teams, okay, in the league that want to continue to try and get better, we'll just take them for an example. How many of those teams, even if Kevin Adams were to take half of his salary, which is, the $8 million. So a team's taking on $4 million. How many teams in the league have money to take on $4 million?
Well, so for example, okay.
Very few.
The St. Louis Blues cannot do it. Okay. They have zero deadline space and they were a team that maybe was rumored, but hey, who knows?
How many teams have deadline space, Marty?
I'd have to go back and really pull it up. New York Islanders is a team that has zero trade deadline cap space right now. But we all know that Lou Lamoriello could find a $2-3 million spot for Taylor Hall, who, with the Sabres taking half.
Yeah, Lou finds someone to put on
Robidoux
Island.
You know Lou Lamoriello's got that. The Toronto Maple Leafs could fit Taylor Hall if they make a transaction or two, or if they send somebody to the, you know, to the IR or whatnot. Maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have about 800,000 in cap space.
How do you just take it, somebody and put them on the IR?
We've seen it 100 times.
Develop a skin rash or something, you know. Yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning, many things you could do. Blues, New York Islanders, Vancouver Canucks, Washington Capitals, Edmonton Oilers, Chicago Blackhawks, Anaheim, Dallas, and Winnipeg are the teams that have zero cap space, projected zero cap space. But then you look at the next 10 teams: Vegas, Montreal, Toronto, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Calgary. These teams have $500,000.
Yeah, but Colorado, okay, has $400,000 in cap space right now, but they also have long-term IR that they could tap in. So their current cap space is more like $1.4 million instead of $400,000. So, and at the deadline next Monday, that cap space will turn into $1.8 million. So they could take on somebody that has $1.8 million contract. Taylor Hall's at $8 million. So, okay, the Sabres eat half of that. So now Taylor Hall is a $4 million player and Colorado has $1.8 million in cap space. Well, can Colorado trade the Sabres, a guy that's $2.2 million or $2.3 million right now to finish the season, and that fits Taylor Hall? And while we're doing that, you're going to send us a first-round pick because you know what? We're doing you a favor. We're making it work. And maybe you send us a prospect as well. But that's the game Kevin Adams has to play right now. And teams are going to, in my opinion, teams should be calling and trying everything to get Taylor Hall. I think he's the one guy I would want. I think he will definitely.
Do you think he's the number one forward on the market right now? What about Kyle Palmieri? I heard that he is going to be sitting out in today's game, in tonight's game.
Well, he already sent out the last one.
Okay. And because obviously he's going to be moved in the next couple of days.
Yes.
He's another guy that has been proven goal scorer. He's a leader. You know, he has all those intangibles. So is the market the same for Kyle Palmieri and Taylor Hall?
I love the agent's tweet, Bartlett Hockey. Oh, he's represented by the Bartletts. Can confirm that Kyle Palmieri is being held out of the Devils lineup today in anticipation of a trade in the coming days, week.
Yeah.
So, and that was a question too. When did the Sabres start doing this? Another question Darren Dreger was asking, you know, if Taylor Hall does dress here in these games leading up to next week, I mean, what do you do? Do you keep him in?
You got four games. Sit him out? Tonight, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. You got four games. I'll be honest with you. I think the over-under on Taylor Hall playing four games this week is at 2.5. I personally think he plays two of them. I think he plays tonight and Thursday. I think Friday, Sunday, he's not playing. I think you may call up guys. You have Ruotsalainen now.
And what's the reason squad. For that, Marty? What's the reason for that in your mind? Why with 1 week left, why would you be not sitting him out? What are the reasons
to sit him out,
and what are the reasons not to sit him out?
I would sit him out right now, but the issue is that you only have 23 players on the roster. If you sit out Taylor Hall, he can't go down to the taxi squad like you would sit out somebody else, like R2 Ruotsalainen. And I would sit him out right now, but I think it becomes a little bit
Who's
of a problem player?
R2 Ruotsalainen is our extra player.
No, he's on the taxi squad right now.
So who's not our on the extra, roster. Who's our 13th forward on the Sabres right now?
On the Sabres right now, I think it's Fogarty. But the problem is Fogarty also is on an emergency loan. He's only up on the roster because of an injury. So if you decide to sit out Taylor Hall because you held him out, then Fogarty cannot be playing considered an emergency loan. He's and only in the lineup.
Don't forget Cousins could be back here soon. That's we have to add that in. We have to go to break though, gentlemen, because we have to get out of here. To the Point coming up next. Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show on MSG, 6 o'clock on WGR 550. And we will return with the return of To the Point. This or That at 11:30. And stick around, more to come. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
To the point!
To the point!
Yes, to the point. We're bringing it back, ladies and gentlemen. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. All right, so we'll decide who's going to go first here. First of all, I got to shake off the rust here, fellas. I came out of the gate hard today, right into hockey talk. You guys have a good weekend? Like, I was a little rusty off the start, eh? So I just, like, you know, had the run, the rewind of the game, and I'm like, let's just get right into the game.
I had a great weekend.
So Marty Riv turned his hat around. You put it the other way now?
Well, yeah, this is to the point. I'm getting ready for...
Like over the top?
I'm getting ready to fight.
Like Sylvester Stallone when he goes over the top. How was the weekend, fellas? You guys have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. What did I do? Cleaned my car yesterday, like the interior. Spent like $4 at the vacuum. You know, you put the quarters in, you get the big vacuum that sucks $4. Up everything.
That means you did that four times.
You had
a lot of fries.
Trunk, between the seats, underneath. I did the windows. I had even the wipes to do the vinyl and the seats and all of that. The cup holder, like the changes in there, it gets crummy and whatever. I did it all. Spent like 2 hours doing it. It was great.
Good for you. Awesome. Riv, you have a good week. You already said you had a good free weekend. I had like a nice little time off. Okay. All right. Well,
you know what this time is to me?
I had a good weekend.
This time is about decluttering, and it's about cleaning your garage and just making sure it's just immaculate so you can, like, you know.
I clean my garage.
Do you guys sit in your garage?
No.
No.
With a lawn chair and drink beer?
No. 9 years sober, but thanks. Beer. What? What's that?
Yeah. It's like it's my favorite spot. No question about it. A nice clean garage, floors, you know, pressure washed, you know, everything's just perfect. Lawn chair, beer.
Good for you. Good for you.
I know you had a good weekend because you came in really hot this morning. It was great. And today is a big birthday, right? So
thank you. Yeah, no, it's my little guy's birthday. Yeah, he's 8 today. It's crazy how fast time flies, fellas.
The mutant.
Yeah, he is.
The genetic marvel.
Yeah, he's a big kid. He
can kick a soccer ball farther than all of us can.
Yeah, like he can throw pigskin over them mountains. So anyway, to the point. Thanks for asking, guys. Yeah, good weekend here. Nice and refreshed. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. 6:30 pregame show with Marty and Duffer. 6 o'clock on WGR 550 with Shope and the Bulldogs. So I don't know if you guys heard, and I know you guys have, but if everybody else out there, guys, girls, everyone listening, Vancouver Canucks, 20 positive cases of COVID and some family members.
Let's just say it's 20 players on the COVID protocols or 20 members. I don't know if they're all positive.
Okay. 20 members, 20 players. That's right. 20 players on the COVID protocol list, but members of families are getting COVID. Yeah. So it's starting to trickle over. So what impact, who wants to go first here to the point here? Who's going first?
Go ahead. Marty can.
What impact will the situation in Vancouver have on the rest of the NHL season? This was a concern going into the year. They've had six games canceled.
Yeah, so the problem is the Canadian division, with all the travel, it's harder to make up the games, right? So they're going to have to extend the season by 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, to get all the games in. And now the problem, too, is that this variant that's hit the Vancouver Canucks, as Elliot Freeman said on his podcast, is more, how can I say it? It's impacting the younger generation a lot more. So this guy, Jay Sauerluck, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, he tested positive for COVID in March last year, and he tested positive for COVID now again. So we're knowing now that this is affecting players in a different ways. So it's actually devastating the Canucks, and I think it's going to be something the league is going to have to really pay attention to moving forward.
All right, we're doing To the Point. Riv, what impact will the situation in Vancouver have on the rest of the NHL season?
Well, you know, if you think back, you know, a month and a half ago, Buffalo went through somewhat the same thing, as did the New Jersey Devils. New Jersey Devils were upwards of, what, 14, 16 positive cases. You look at in Vancouver, very similar. I think player-wise, they're around 16, and they have, you know, multiple coaches that are in the same situation that make up the 20. So it's very common to what Buffalo went through and what the New Jersey Devils went through. This team sat out for almost, what, 10?
So 14, that, do you want another 30 days? Seconds, Riv? Do you want us to put another 30 seconds? Because we're doing To the Point. So get to the point.
The point is, right now, the Buffalo Sabres are at 37 games. New Jersey Devils are at 36. And the majority of the division that they're in are all around 37, 30, 35, 38. So the Sabres have made up the games that they've needed to make up. And I think that you will have the Vancouver Canucks, once they can get by this, you know, tough time in Vancouver, I think they'll be able to make up those games.
I'm sorry, Rev, that I jumped all over you. I didn't sleep all that good. Just so you guys know, I got my first COVID shot yesterday at the Lexus Club at the Sabres at the arena. So I woke up, my arm was sore. I slept on it. So sorry, Rev, I'm a little cranky this morning.
Hey, so you got your shot, eh?
I got my first shot, my first vaccine yesterday. Yep. So going back in 3 weeks
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling really good. So, like I said, it's just my arm is a little sore with the when they gave me the shot, because I sleep on my left side, and it was on my left arm. I should have asked for the right side, knowing that I sleep on my left side. So I woke up, the arm was
sleep
a little
on the
sore.
One side. Like, when you go to sleep on one side, do you stay in the one side?
Well, I wake up on that side, so I figured I must sleep on that side.
Really, you stay the whole night in one spot, eh?
Literally, when I wake up in the morning, all I have to do is pull the one sheet over and my bed is made. I don't move when I sleep. I really don't.
Good God. For you. That's a good sleeper right there.
I mean, my duvet and my sheets are twisted, and like one's going one way, the other's going the other. I'm just I'm a steamroller in bed at night. Like I'm literally going edge to edge all night long. And we're totally butchering this segment here. Okay, so what would you like to change about ESPN's top defenseman list? So here are the top 10 defensemen ranked by ESPN. Victor Hedman, Cale Makar, Roman Josi, Alex Pietrangelo, Miro Heiskanen, Seth Jones, Jakob Slavin, John Carlson, Shea Theodore, Ivan Provorov. Riv, okay. We'll start with you. You're the defense guru around here.
I would probably say right now that the only one that I would think should be on this list is Aaron Ekblad. Right now you have the Florida Panthers that are playing exceptionally well. They're one of the top teams in the league, if not number one. And, you know, he has been a very, very big part. He logs a lot of minutes. He plays power play. He plays penalty kill. He is one of the leaders on the team. He is a very big part of the Florida Panthers back end. And I would have to have Aaron Ekblad in this list. And there's a couple guys that, you know, you might take out.
So we're doing To the Point here, and we're ranking the NHL's top defensemen. This is from Executives, Coaches, Players Debate, and this is the top 10 defensemen as discussed by them. ESPN put this out. So, Marty, I'm not going to do the list again. What would you change?
I would move Alex Pietrangelo to number three. Look at how the St. Louis Blues are without him right now. I know they didn't have Colton Parayko for the bigger part of the season, but still, Pietrangelo, I think, is a really good player, and he should be number three. I would maybe add Adam Fox and even Samuel Girard in the top 10. Those two are amazing. Samuel Girard doesn't get enough credit in Colorado, and Adam Fox with the Rangers, I think, should be in the top 10. So I would maybe get Provorov out of there. He hasn't had a great season in Philly. And maybe Slavin out of there, and I would add Fox and Girard.
Okay. Interesting. It's an unbelievable list. Unbelievable list of players.
It's a great list. And you know what? The way Dallin's played the last three games, if he continues to play the way that he's played the last few games, I think he can compete with Miro Heiskanen and Shea Theodore and those guys on that list. He just, for the better part of 30 games, he was minus 35.
That's what we expected from him in the first place. I thought he would have been on this list if you had said at the start of the year that you were going to ask a question, Craig.
To be honest with you, I was just interested I think Fox has been a really nice player for the New York Rangers. He is considered, an offensive defenseman. Would you not say, Marty?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you were to take Slavin, who plays for the Carolina Hurricanes, who's a better defender?
Slavin's probably a better defender.
Probably. You're going to actually say probably?
Well, Fox is not a bad defender because he always has the puck. He doesn't have to defend all that much. He's good. So I put him up above Jacob Slavin, yeah.
I have to just throw this note in here because this just came at me here. And this is added onto the article. You may be wondering about a couple of the NHL's top defensemen this season. Adam Fox of the New York Rangers, Samuel Girard of the Avalanche, and Darnell Nurse of the Oilers, Jeff Petrie of the Montreal Canadiens were not included in this edition of the survey, which was formulated right as the season was starting. It'll be interesting to see where they end up next year. So
Darnell Nurse should have been in the top five.
Pointless timing of this one, I guess.
Yeah, but Nurse should have been in the top five. Rivs, I forgot about him, and I think you would agree. Darnell Nurse, he scored again on Carey Price yesterday with a good hard shot, but how he defends, I think Nurse should be in the top five.
Well, the centers just came out, so if this was all done before the year, I'd be curious to see where they have Jack Eichel. So that'll be interesting to see. We got to go to break, gentlemen. There's a very interesting tie to tonight's game. Anyone know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. You've been reading the rundown. I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
I got a text about it. So,
Instigators, I'll tell you what that tie to tonight's game is. It's a family tie. We call it family ties here. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. All right, so what is that family tie? Tonight, you'll have Tage Thompson, 6'7", 225 pounds, facing off against his younger brother, Tyce Thompson, a fourth-round draft pick of the New Jersey Devils in 2019, coming out of Providence College, putting up some unbelievable numbers. He's going to make his NHL debut tonight. He's 6'1", 178, so a little bit of a height difference, but there's only one way to settle this one, is I say they scrap.
I don't think they would. I think Tage has got that one wrapped up. Listen, remember when we first saw Tage, he wasn't big either. So Tyce, I think, is going to fill up to maybe 195 pounds in a few years. We'll stay about 6'1", 6'2", but I still think Tage has the reach and the size to tell, hey, kid, stay in your corner.
I don't know about that.
What's the age difference between the two?
It's got to be 5 years.
So 21, 21, and Tage is what, 23? So is it 2 or 3 years?
99. He was born in 99. My God.
So he's going to be turning 22.
It's only 2 years. Sorry.
2 years.
More.
Feels why are you asking that, Rivs?
the closer they are, the more scraps are going to happen. There's no question about it. That's just the way it all works. You know, like Petey,
100% these two, like, have gone at it.
We all have brothers, you know. I fought, my brother was 2.5 years older than me. And we play fought, I think, literally every single day. Every single day.
Marty, yeah, you're 3 years older than your brother.
I was 3 years older than my brother, so I used to just beat the crap out of him in baseball, soccer, hockey, tennis, whatever. Like, I would literally send him home crying all the time. And then that's when I was like 12 and he was 9.
I don't see that at all from you. Like, unless you got really angry and threw like a Kleenex at him, that's, you know. Like,
no, that's the opposite. Like, my brother would never fight back. He would go home crying. And then one day my mom said, you know, you're bigger than your brother now, because I was like 15 and he was 12 and he was already taller than I was, and or he was close to it. And then he says, what do you mean? And she goes, you don't have to take it from him anymore. And then he put me through the wall and on one of those baseboard like heaters, electric heaters, that I sat on it and could not get up because I went in there so hard. My dad just replaced that heater like a month ago, by the way, and because he kept it there just as a memorabilia of when the day my brother got angry and fought back, and then I never did again. I was like, that's it.
My brother javelin threw a hockey stick at my head and I dodged, and it took out this glass wall thing that my parents had. It was like this like ruffled kind of, it was, yeah, this was not.
Oh, man. You have, I can, like, this is what happened. Like, this would happen in the Rivejo. So I still remember this one. So if we weren't fisticuffing each other or wrestling or some sort of physical altercation, there was a lot of like antagonizing and bugging. And I remember
the younger brother. So you were antagonizing him, or he was?
No, like, so
my brother used to antagonize the hell out of me. I would react to it and I would get in trouble.
My brother got in a lot of trouble for so-called picking on me, but we were both around the same size, and we, you know, it was a good match. You know, he was a little bit stronger and bigger, but I was kind of, I just liked the feisty stuff. So I can still remember one day we were told that we weren't allowed to fight anymore, like, because it happened every single day. So my mom put a stop to it. So my brother did something that day that really upset me. I can't remember. I think I was doing schoolwork, if you can believe that one, but let's just say I was. And he did something to me, and I ran around the house, down the hallway, and I had a pencil in my hand. And he was, I'm not kidding you, was 10 feet down the hallway. And I gave him the old, like, Jackie Chan, like, nunchuck, or like, and it stuck right in his arm. So he's got this pencil literally protruding out of his arm, and he doesn't take it out. He walks to my mother with the pencil in his arm to show her what I had done.
Look what Craig did. He could have pulled it out. It would have just been like a little hole.
Pulled it. Yeah, it was a little hole. Come on.
Hey, well, anyway. If your recollection of schoolwork was the same as your 2-1 win in a two goal game against Colorado.
That ended up being 6-3 loss.
You were looking at a Playboy magazine, and your brother was trying to rat you out for it.
Listen, the question I was asked was, did you score 2 goals? And the answer is yes. Then you said, did you win the game? And I'm like, I have no idea. I think we won 2-1, but I have no idea. So don't.
And then Petey said, hey, if you scored 2 goals in a 2-1 win, la première étoile, the first star. And it was like, you went on with this whole big thing, Rivs.
Yeah.
You went on to the whole
thing. And then Elliot shut you down. Elliot shut you down. Like, they shut down the boilers in the Titanic after they hit the iceberg.
You know why I know how to speak French. La première étoile, the first star, numéro 52, number 52 of the Montreal. Because I was always first star. That's just the way I rolled in Montreal.
So I didn't have much cell service over the weekend, but I got it on my way out of town, and I got from Riv, from hero to zero in quotations and a middle finger emoji. Yeah, you didn't like that, eh? From hero to zero. We got to go to break. We got to go to break. Hour number 2 of the Instigator is coming up. We'll do Dis or Dad at 11:30. We're going to preview the game tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. 6:30 pregame show on MSG, 6 o'clock on WGR 550. Sabres are in New Jersey against the Devils, and no Kyle Palmieri. He's being sat out for potential trade reasons, or he will be traded. And we'll tell you more about the game. Tyce Thompson, Tage Thompson square off tonight. We'll talk more about that. Linus Allmark has been absolutely fantastic. What happens with him this week? So more to come here on the Instigator. Stick around.